This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
You Jake Sully?
I'd like to talk to you about a fresh start on a new world. You'd be making a difference.
I became a Marine for the hardship. I told myself I can pass any test a man can pass. All I ever wanted was a single thing worth fighting for.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are not in Kansas anymore. You are on Pandora.
You should see your faces.
We have an indigenous population called the Na'vi. They are very hard to kill.
This is why we're here.
Because this little gray rock sells for 20 million a kilo.
Their village happens to be resting on the richest deposit, and they need to relocate.
Those savages are threatening our whole operation. We're on the brink of war, and you're supposed to be finding a diplomatic solution.
The concept is to drive these remotely controlled bodies called avatars. They're grown from human DNA mixed with DNA of the natives.
Marine in an avatar body. That's a potent mix.
You get me what I need, I'll see to it you get your legs back. Your real legs.
Hell yeah, sir.
Looks like you. This is your avatar.
Just relax and let your mind go blank. It shouldn't be hard for you.
I see you when you're down and depressed, just a mess.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Film Effect. You are back. I have another episode. And I have another guest, and I can see her. I'm seeing her right now. I don't know if she's seeing me, but if you guys heard the opening, you might know the movie that we're talking about today. And we are talking about Avatar. That's right. So I'm going to let Carrie introduce herself. Carrie, say hello.
Hi, I'm Carrie.
Hi.
Hi, Tiff. I can see her too, so it's really nice to talk to an actual person. I just spent all morning talking to screens.
See? So actually this movie and that one, I mean, I'm saying I see you because if you have seen this film, you guys know what I'm talking about. But that is such the theme of the movie, right?
Yeah, I see you.
I see you. And actually, we're living in a time where nobody is seeing anybody as much as they used to.
Exactly. And we're having to see each other through screens and...
No, it's crazy.
I know. You're not feeling that I see you connection.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That deeper I see you.
It's crazy.
Not like I just see you, but I feel you.
Yeah, it's like a different... It's like a... What would be the yoga word for... There's so much yoga and so much of that stuff that is like, I see you, right?
I mean, that's why I wanted to talk about Avatar.
Okay, so first of all, introduce yourself to our...
Yeah, so I'm a yoga instructor down here in Lewis. I teach at Dimitri Yoga. I've been doing it for like 5 years now. I'm also a massage therapist, so I talk to people through their body. So I see them in tons of different ways.
Wow.
Yeah. And now I'm here with Tiff. That's how I met her. That's how we met, through yoga.
Yoga.
It's an awesome little spitfire.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you guys know me by now. If you're listening to this, you know a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I know you from yoga, and yoga played a very interesting part in the past few years in my life, actually. And I've met so many interesting people through it, and you guys, their teachers, are you're doing such an awesome service to the world, really, you know, in any capacity.
To.
Yeah, and I always think it's such a thankless job. I mean, maybe I'm wrong because I'm not doing it, but it feels like it deserves to be... what's the word?
I don't know if I would call it promoted more, but just maybe respected more.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think people look at it just like some other kind of exercise that people do.
Right.
But really, it's a much deeper thing once you really get into yoga and you experience it and you start really practicing it.
Yeah.
And that has been more of a spiritual connection for me and a mind-body connection for me than any type of exercise I've ever done.
Yeah. Because it's absolutely exercise for sure, depending on what form you do. It's funny, I just posted about this on my Instagram. Like,
check out, plug your Insta.
Yeah,
what
right?
is it?
Cool Vibes, k.oolvibes.
I will share this on the description. Yeah. Yes.
But so there's so many different forms of yoga, just like there's so many different movies and there's so many different everything all over the world. So many different forms of exercise. Mm-hmm. Like there's that yoga is somewhere you can find and like tap in and tune in to like yourself and what you feel on the inside. And that's why it's different than just going to the gym.
Yeah. And actually when you're saying that, sorry, I'm interrupting you.
No,
I should be. No, I'm just kidding. That's my entire life is interrupting people. No, but this, what I think about that is I think sometimes people don't want to continue with yoga or do yoga because if they have that experience of what you're talking about, mm-hmm. which is yoga is tapping into your feelings, actually.
Right. Which
and
can
a
be
lot
hard.
Of people are using exercise to avoid their
or
feelings.
Release feelings. Yeah.
You know, I used to literally run.
Away.
I was like, I have to run away from my life. So what did I do? I went running.
And that is certainly cathartic and feels amazing.
It's interesting though, because for me personally, it was a way for me to escape.
Yeah.
And maybe that was just the time I was in. But I do think yoga, if you do it more and you kind of like really give your full self
give
to
some
it,
time to it.
It really does tap into your feelings. And I can say personally,
yeah.
There are many times at the end of a class or even during a class where I'm like crying on my mat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's uncomfortable and it's like...
It's amazing and uncomfortable all at once.
Yeah.
It's just like, am I allowed to feel these emotions? Am I allowed to like cry for no reason and not explain it to anyone? Am I allowed to like feel like this? Is this okay? I mean, that's what drew me in. Someone was like, oh, you're allowed. You're allowed
right.
to slow down. You're allowed to breathe. You're allowed to feel. I was like, oh, why didn't anyone tell me this before?
It's such a safe space.
Yeah.
At least Demetrius, and I'm shouting out to Demetri Yoga right now, but it really was for me at least.
Yeah.
Felt like a very welcoming and safe space.
That's awesome.
And you guys have all been very influential for me personally.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah
the whole
not...
community is great.
It is. All right, so this is a movie podcast, so.
Obviously, yes, film effect. Let's do it.
All right, so Avatar is a movie I saw many years ago, and actually my daughter Stella used to sit on the sofa. We used to watch it. I don't know why she liked this movie. She was really young.
Yeah.
And it's kind of an upsetting movie for a little
kid.
It's
a lot to take in.
But I think she just thought it was like colorful and
right,
who
and
knows.
Pretty and super cool.
Because I remember watching it last night and being like, this is horrifying, actually, some of the stuff that's happening right now.
I mean, yeah, when we get into it, there's so many themes that really apply to like present day.
Right? Yeah, like this, like you said, like first of all, we're in a Zoom world and we're not seeing each other.
We're not getting that I see you connection as much.
Oh my God. All right, well, I'm going to give my listeners the rundown of the facts, stats, information. If you don't know what the heck I'm talking about. Okay. So Avatar is a movie that came out in 2009. It's PG-13. It's a long movie. So buckle up. It's like almost 3 hours. So you're not just popping this thing on and, you know, you have to commit to this film. Directed by James Cameron. Written by James Cameron. It stars so many cool people. Sam Worthington, Zoe Zeldana, Sigourney Weaver, shout out!
Woo!
Aliens! All right, sorry, I love Sigourney. Michelle Rodriguez, Giovanni Ribisi. There's a lot of really interesting people in this movie. Of course, Sigourney, I think, gets top billing just because everyone knows. If you're a kid of the 80s, like I was, you know who she is. But you saw this movie, and yeah, so tell me, first of all, why this was your pick.
And I remember we talked about this maybe a few months ago when you were first starting this podcast, and I was like, oh, the only thing I could imagine talking about is Avatar. So Avatar came out before I ever even started yoga or even knew yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And, it really just was an intro to like that type of connection to how we feel and connection to the earth and to planet and treating the planet and each other with respect. And I mean,
cinematography.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
You win the prize. Woo! Okay.
Is beautiful. Obviously, the alternate universe they created on Pandora is amazing. I mean, that alone is just super cool. And I just love the whole journey of this guy going into this world and being accepted by them and understanding their culture and creating connection, like really understanding someone rather than having to fight with someone or you against me.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll just say from my perspective watching it again, and it's funny because I've had this theme this week in my mind of, which is, like you said, there's a million themes in this movie that are really beautiful and true. And I think that's what I think blew me away is how, to me, like you talk about the earth, and these are things I've come into as I've gotten older to realize this stuff, but the connectedness of all things, the connectedness, and that there's so much in the middle of black and white. Even though when we first come into things, we see them so divided or so simplistic, right? It's kind of like this is this and this is this. But this other theme that I was noticing, which I didn't notice before, was the theme of kind of like identity and being able to embrace your true self by trying on a different identity.
Yeah, like you don't have to just be one thing.
Yeah, right? And I feel like our main character in the story goes through that. And it's funny because I really got this from watching Criminal Minds the other night, which has nothing to do with Avatar. It was pretty simple, right? It was like one of those, one of the characters was like a spy.
Yeah.
And then she like has to deal because she's now in the FBI, but like there's this whole stupid storyline they create around it. But in the end, they like have to kill her off. They fake her death.
Oh, God.
And then she's got to go be someone else, right? And I thought for a minute when that episode ended, I'm like, how interesting would it be if somebody handed me a new name, a new passport, and said, here.
Just
fresh start. Fresh start almost. Because I think what the hardest thing is for some of us is the baggage we carry or the story we've told ourselves about ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that even because our oldest is in college now and she's at University of Michigan. And
Yay.
And I just wonder, I remember being able to go from one environment to another. Mm-hmm. And that kind of shift was like an opportunity almost of like, I'm leaving all my old friends behind, but now I can be this new Tiffany with nobody who knows
like
me.
You've got an empty slate and you can fill it up with whatever you want.
Yes.
You
and there's
choose
no
what to put back in there or in that basket if you have an empty basket or on that board if you got an empty board. You can write what you want on there.
Yeah. And I think the permission of that is actually really awesome.
Yeah.
And I started to see this movie that way because we have this character who is, you know, a military guy. He's paralyzed. And he has lost a bit of who he was.
So he was just this military guy. Like, that was his training, his life. Work hard, do hard, all those things.
And also living in the shadow of an older brother who's his twin.
Right.
Who is, you know, smarter, all these other things than him.
They're on totally separate paths in life. Mm-hmm. But they love each other, clearly.
And it's so crazy because then he gets to, out of this weird turn of events, get to be...
He basically gets offered his brother's opportunity.
Yes. Now we're explaining the whole story to you. I didn't even read the description. This is how deep this movie is. I can't even. And I haven't
There's
let
so
you talk
things.
At all. So I'm going to let you talk.
No, it's fine. Yeah, I like this. This is good.
But don't you see that? And I thought how interesting that he gets to really shine and challenge who he is by being someone completely else.
By getting that blank slate and just saying, all right, do what you can, basically.
Yeah, and he gets to be amazing, by the way.
He gets to have legs, first of all, again. Like, how amazing is that scene where he first comes into his avatar body and he's like
crazy
stumbling through the research center and finds his legs. I think that was the first time I teared up.
Yeah, well, there's so much in that too, right? I'm sure. And I think even working what you do with yoga, you encounter people that are dealing with injuries or struggle with what they were and what they aren't now. Mm-hmm. And this idea. And that's why I was really thinking about that. It's like there's the story of who he is and then the story of who he becomes when he's able to do that through the avenue of a different creature, you know?
And
it's kind of crazy.
It's crazy because in the beginning, he's just like almost got this like fuck it vibe. Like, I'll just do it for my brother, they asked me, I have nothing else going on, like whatever, what could go wrong? Like he just doesn't care almost. And then he's opened up to this whole world that's like his whole new life and all this new opportunity for him to just do whatever he wants.
So do you think, now I'm going to get therapy on you. Okay, come into my office, sit down, let me tell you.
I have a cup of tea, please.
I totally didn't bring tea, I suck. All right, I'm going to bring tea next time. So do you think, in terms of the themes that you noticed in this movie, what resonates with you the most in your personal life?
In my personal life?
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely changed over the years. Oh, that's a tough one.
Right?
Yeah. What resonates with me the most? I'm looking at my notes now.
Go to your notes. I love that you brought notes.
I don't know. I think the overall theme still is just how do I put this into words? Just the idea of just the connection to nature and respecting other human beings for like what they are and not forcing them to be anything other than what they are. And understanding that just because something's different doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean it's bad. And that there's not, the value isn't in the things. The value is in the connections that we have and the connections that we make with the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the money that who goes God knows where when we die. Like, that's not it. It's just not it.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And the movie, you know, and it's funny, I'm going to admit, I'm going to get into my film side now. All you guys listening. I kind of hate James Cameron, so I'm just going to say that. Sorry, James. I like you because you made this movie, but there's something about his filmmaking in general that's so machismo for me that I just have trouble with sometimes. And it's against everything you just said just now, actually.
Yeah.
But what I love is that I'm able to put that aside
because
I don't really know James Cameron. Sorry, I've seen interviews with you.
Haven't met him in person yet.
He just seems like a little bit of an egomaniac, so that's why it bothers me. But sorry. That's,
no, I mean, I don't really know much about him either.
And I don't think it matters. No, and this is what I do think, though, and I think that I'm getting into another deep side of myself about artists. I think that you don't have to love the artist to love the art.
Oh, I say that all the time.
Right?
There's and so many artists that I appreciate, but I don't necessarily, like, that's not my thing.
Yeah, and it's same with music. How many musicians do you love their music, but you're like, I don't know about the musician.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of crazy. But but I do think that art comes through us for a reason. And when I think about this movie, and I might be getting a little too weird for my people out there.
Too woo-woo. Sorry, friends.
Sorry. But this movie is like such truth when you're talking about the core of it, like the connectedness of things.
Yeah.
The balance of things, the way that we should accept and love each other. All these beautiful ideas have somehow came through James Cameron.
Somehow.
He woke up with this fucking vision of like, I need to do this story.
Yeah.
And I think that happens to some people and it's for other people. It's not, you know, it's not for him to express himself personally. I think that's about, it just needed to get put out there.
That's a really good way to put it. I like that.
Because I don't think of us as so intentional. It's helped me a little bit with my art. I think some of it's fun and it's definitely what you want to do. But I think we are vessels for what is meant to come through us.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't even make any sense.
But I'm sure we just have to trust and put it out there.
I have visuals in my head that James Cameron was like in his bed one night and he was like, I have to do this weird. I don't understand why. I have to create these people. Like, I just feel like he was possessed.
The blue people.
Seriously. I think he was a bit possessed to make this movie because I don't know if anybody else takes it so seriously, but
I don't know how you would have come up with all of this unless you were really invested.
Dude, he had to make a language.
Yeah. And he was like, I mean, everything. This is like, and then I go back to like the Game of Thrones people and the Lord of the Rings people that come up with these languages and these lands and everything. It's Star Wars, all of it.
Like,
how did you do all of this? It's amazing to
me. I don't think that they even know.
They don't know. I think they just are
like, I don't know where that came from.
That worked out really well.
Which a lot of the times they didn't think it was going to, right?
Yeah.
You wonder how confident he was making this film, spending so much money. I know this movie was definitely a...
Was it a lot of money? I mean, I haven't looked at any of the stats.
I am going to just pull things out of my ass. I do know I can go to the trivia on IMDb because I don't do much research before this thing begins, guys.
Other than watching the movie, obviously.
Right, exactly.
Had a great movie night.
I got some facts for you. Okay, so this movie took 4 years to make.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
And the budget exceeded $400 million.
Like, I really appreciate the movie, but then I'm like, okay, there's a lot of people in the world that would really need that money.
That's crazy.
Wow.
That's a little bit insane, right?
Just a little bit.
No studio would fund the film, and it was shelved for 8 years.
Oh.
Because that's what he said he needed. But so I missed correction. I don't know if it was actually that by the time it was done, but...
Maybe that's why.
I do remember this movie being a CGI, accomplishment at the time.
Right. It was a big deal.
It was, like, a big deal.
We didn't have a lot of that then.
It wasn't like this. And so he was kind of, you know, taking it...
Leaps and bounds.
So it's so funny. It actually wasn't $400 million.
Oh. That's a lot of money.
It sounds like it was still a lot of money. But I think it grossed a lot of money as well.
Okay.
So.
Oh yeah. I mean, I watched it in three theaters, definitely at least three times.
They should re-release this in the theater.
Oh, that would be amazing. I would go see it.
Yeah,
again.
I know. There are. I do have some problems with the story, but tell me like your favorite parts. Let's just. I usually walk people through the whole thing, but I can't. It's too complicated,
There's
guys.
So much going on.
So you got a guy. I'll just brief them. There's a military. You know, it's the future. There's a planet called Pandora. The government, the military, whatever. We're assholes as usual, and all we want is this like rock. This resource,
yeah.
Like oil, reminded me of oil.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And we are about to go and just tear down an entire planet, basically
just
ruin everything that exists there so that we can have more of this, you know.
Money in our hands.
Money. And but our main story is this guy, and he is thrown into the circumstance, like you said. He has been wounded. He's kind of broke. His brother dies. And his brother has been a part of this science department.
He's been preparing for this trip, right?
Please,
for years.
Take it over.
Just take it over.
Shut me up already.
So, no, I mean, she's on the right path.
She's watching me struggle to explain Avatar.
Well,
this should
this
be
is
a game.
Good.
Explain Avatar
Back
to someone.
Forth,
just
yeah.
a stranger. Walk
just
up on
in
the
general.
All right, there's a planet. It's called Pandora.
Just stick with me here. So there's this research project, basically. So they're trying to get the money, like Tip
yes.
said. They're trying to get the money, and that's why the government is there. That's why all this money, these people are going there. But then there's the scientific part of it, or this group that's really trying to connect with the native people, the Na'vi, that live there on this planet, and their big tree is like right in the area where all the resources that everyone wants, and
that's like
the
straight out of
later.
Like a comic book.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, the tree is on the spot. Where
the
all
tree
the good
has
stuff
all the
is.
Yeah. exactly. So then Jake comes on, and his brother's been like training for this for years, and then he comes on, and everyone in the scientific department is like, "Why did you send us this guy?"
Yeah.
Like. He doesn't have any training. He doesn't know anything. We're here to make peace with these people so we can negotiate them moving away from the tree so we don't have to, like, blow up their home.
Yeah, and the only reason he really is a fit is because the avatars, which are actual
yes.
creatures that they, like,
what,
it's almost...
What was it? It was a DNA from the Na'vi, the people, mm-hmm. and then DNA from the actual human mixed together
yes.
to create the avatar.
And they had been for years creating this avatar for his brother.
Right.
So he has exact DNA because he's a twin.
Yes.
So he's the only one that can use this avatar.
And that's why it has to be him. And that's why they picked him.
Yes. Now they could have just thrown that body away, but that avatar away.
They could have.
But it's so expensive, I'm sure.
I mean, they worked really hard on it.
They really did. So it's a great setup for this guy's story, right?
Yeah.
And there are so many other stories within it. Like even that setup of the science... that's being funded through the military for this purpose of negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, on flip sides of both of that coin, both of that side of the, both.
The other side.
Coins.
The coins.
Flip it. Okay, so so you've got, both of them have their own ulterior motives.
Yes.
Really. I mean, the government's
basically.
Pretty blatant about it. They're, or the military's blatant. We want this.
We just want this.
We want this, and this is what we're going for. And they're being funded by, obviously, some business organization.
Yeah, the guy,
which makes
I don't
no
know.
Sense to me, but...
Maybe that's where they got... I don't know. He paid the military?
I don't understand.
I don't know that backstory, actually.
I don't either. But then, also, Sigourney Weaver, and I shouldn't call her that. What's your character name? Dr. Grace.
Grace.
She's obviously Grace. That's a perfect name for her. She is.
I think the first scene is her coming out smoking a cigarette and yelling at people.
I still think she's very graceful.
Yeah.
For being a kick-ass, badass woman. She is really there to do research.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't really want to negotiate anything.
She doesn't care about taking anything from these people.
No, her motive is like any scientist, is to explore, find out, curiosity, discover,
yes.
and, you know, just
learn.
And learn about
learn
these people.
And teach.
Yeah, and about the planet and about the whole environment. That's like
what they do, what they've got going on, everything.
That's it. And
yeah.
so they're agreed to this negotiation concept, and this is the reason why all this is happening, but nobody's really being
they're
totally
definitely
honest.
On different sides.
Yeah, and the government side, or the, not the government, the military side, at least those characters, like Giovanni Ribisi, and of course... the super asshole.
oh, crazy guy.
What is his name? Oh, my God.
I totally
God.
Forgot his name.
That guy couldn't be more of a stereotype.
Yeah. Of, I mean, like, everything that's wrong with the world.
It's a little over the top for me, right?
Like,
Colonel Miles.
Colonel Miles.
I mean, everything about this guy.
And just the way
just...
he talks in the movie is so cheesy sometimes.
So bad.
All right, son. You're like, what?
It's all bad. It's all, like, ripped out of, like, some bad movie about, like, the Marines. Like, yeah, it's just really, it's just. So ridiculous.
How over the top they put this character, I guess.
I think it's a vehicle to bring us the middle of the story. Mm-hmm. So they had to present such extreme sides so that we could find this...
how it connects in the middle, I guess.
Yeah.
To tie the stories together.
And it's in such sheer contrast to the Na'vi people and their beliefs and their ideas around all of these things, right?
It's almost like he represents the... Yeah, the greed side of it.
Yeah.
And the Na'vi represent the connection and abundance side of it.
Yeah, and so, God, I feel like I should let you talk more.
No, we're still trying to
what were we doing?
We're trying going to through the walk of the movie, how it happens,
so
what
he
happens.
So he gets in the Avatar. He's actually amazing at it, of course.
Yeah.
He just picks it up very quickly.
And he's stoked to have legs again.
That's right. And he's also expressing his true self, which is that he's very brave. And he is just, I don't know, there's something very raw about his
character. Yeah, he's like, that's what I really appreciated too, that he wasn't this like, oh, I've got this mindset and I've got this goal. He's just like, I'm just here to do whatever. And now this body's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like playful and open and just... ready to do anything. And he thinks it's funny that the scientific department is like, this idiot's here. And he's like, I'm just trying to do my best. They think I'm an idiot, but whatever.
Like, yeah, no. And he has like, I think what you're tapping into, which is his like real zest for life.
Yeah.
And like people have such a hard time with that.
He definitely lives in the moment.
He does. And he's just grabbing on, you know, he's like, here I am. And I think that has maybe that's a comment on when you have that stuff taken away from you.
Yeah.
How desperately you are ready to have it back.
Yeah.
And how you would maybe appreciate it differently than you would if you just didn't lose it to start.
You can definitely feel that he appreciates it, like how much he missed it or what he didn't get or what he didn't have before. Especially when he comes out from being in the Avatar and he's back with his like non-legs again. He's like, oh man, I gotta like do this again. I wanna go back to that world. And he says it right in the beginning, you know, that world feels more real than this one.
Yeah.
So the video log part is cool.
Tell me.
So as they're doing the research, he's becoming an avatar. He's integrating with or learning about the people. So every day they're supposed to log this video, which kind of becomes the backline of this movie. Every day he's talking to the video log for scientific data and scientific research. But it also kind of narrates the story,
it
which
does,
is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you just kind of hear what he's saying, what he's going through. And it's cool to hear how he narrates it from the beginning of himself separate as a person. And then towards the end, he narrates it as he's one of the people.
Yeah.
Like how in the end, he's like, this is our history now.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It really, and I'm going to make a comment, not just about that, but just, I think I loved watching the way they decided to create these people.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they're amazing and gorgeous.
Yeah, so cool looking.
I mean, they're so cool. Like they're such a combination. And I feel like talking about the time we're living, maybe we should comment on that real quick.
Yeah.
In terms of relation to today and COVID and everything we're experiencing, and also like all the things that are happening as of this
time.
The
environment, the government, the discourse.
Yeah, and also like... Black Lives Matter movement and like also, you know, all of this new stuff with kids, with identity, sexuality. Like I felt like what was interesting when I was watching them, and maybe this is because I'm projecting my own ideas onto
the movie,
but they kind of represented so many things wrapped up into one.
It did. It really did.
Didn't it? Like, well, just
I totally
even
agree.
Just even the choice of the way they designed the Avatar, like this Na'vi people.
Yeah.
They were... you see features of all different races in their structure, in their bodies, in their faces.
And I love it.
All the cultures are blend. A lot of different cultures are blended into who they are. Like I kept thinking of Native Americans.
And you can't really pick one culture.
You can't,
or one
no.
race or one anything.
Yeah. And it's such a cool, like comment on how it's all connected and it's all together. That part was really cool. I thought, I wonder who came up with those designs.
Like how exactly they look.
Yeah, because it is. It's very like.
It's like,
animal. And they're almost like they are male and female, but there wasn't like a bit of, for me, I noticed like there's so much androgyny in the yeah. shapes of them.
And I love that too, actually, that, you know, they're yeah. all like, I noticed their clothing, they're all wearing the same like loincloths.
Right.
They're all wearing the same like necklaces. The women's are just longer that like cover the breasts, I guess. But yeah. it's not really about that. It's not sexualized. It's not, no. it's just like, this is who we are, what we wear. We're all the same. It's not a big deal.
There's nobody fat though, right? I'm just kidding.
I didn't notice.
I'm sorry. I didn't say it. I they're didn't all notice amazing.
Any.
Like they're all
they
gorgeous.
They wouldn't be able to like fly or hunt or hop through the trees. Probably.
I don't even know where that just came from. I'm such an asshole. No, but honestly, they really. I mean, and that's movie making, right?
Yeah.
That's movie making. But I do think. I guess what I'm saying is that really is something that struck me. And I don't know why I kept thinking of Native Americans. Maybe because that's what I
don't know. Maybe because their culture, from what we know, is them really connecting to the earth and living their life based off of the signs from the earth and the universe. And that's how the Na'vi kind of live.
Yeah, interesting.
And they have a very tribe, like their clans, they have tribes. I don't know.
Yeah. I also think because I'm like thinking of like how we just like took the land from the Native Americans.
And that's exactly what happens in this movie. We're just trying to take the stuff from the Na'vis instead of like how beautifully they've kept it preserved and how everything works together and there's no lack of anything because everything gives back to each other. And then someone tries to take something and the balance is thrown off and everything's fucked up.
That's right. That's right. But there's beautiful. So let me ask you in terms of this being a movie idea and actually how you perceive it in real life. So in terms of like the idea of connectedness of all things, the planet, the earth, like all that you were mentioning, that was a big pull for you in this
yeah.
movie. So how do you perceive that in your own life now, like today?
I mean, it definitely goes back to climate change right now.
Okay.
I definitely experience like a little bit of climate anxiety.
Okay.
As we're just moving on in the world. And it's just really making me think like, why did no one teach me how to live like this? How to really like slow down and listen to nature?
Wow.
And why doesn't our society like think about this more or talk about this more? And I know there's definitely groups of people that are hiking and running and spend time outside and surfing. And it's like the world, like in Avatar, the world is your playground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this beautiful thing that can really support us if we let it. Like, I really enjoy rock climbing. I actually haven't climbed outside yet, but I really want to because I'm like, it's literally just already there.
Yeah.
The gym is already there. I just have to get on and climb it. And it's just so cool that we can connect in that way and find ourselves in that way. And we don't need things.
Yeah.
We don't need all these things.
Well, it's definitely a societal issue. I mean, I will agree with you. I did play outside as a kid, but I did not understand I think it's something we all take for granted.
I think as we grow up it gets like farther away too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, your focus becomes money.
Yeah, taking care of yourself
you
the way that you're supposed
house.
To
yeah you have to like figure out how to live.
Yeah,
and that's required, I guess, but I do think there isn't enough of an emphasis put on it, and you're right. I do oddly am always like now mm-hmm. trying to kind of like emphasize that with my kids, even
yeah.
though I feel like I missed the boat a bit with my kids.
I feel it's never too late though, right?
True. And I think the best thing I can do at this point is just lead by example.
Yes.
So, you're right. There's so many, and forget about just the enjoyment of it. The health benefits of
being outside and yeah, like if you can growing your own food or even having a small herb garden in your kitchen or like eating real food versus processed food. And it's just, it creates that deeper connection to like, what am I putting in my body? What am I consuming? What am I putting on my body?
Yeah.
Where did it come from? How did it get there? How natural is it? Because there's definitely I've gotten away from that and I feel overwhelmed sometimes trying to make sure that, okay, I've got to make sure that I'm not hurting the environment to like use this or wear this
yeah.
or do that. It's hard, but it's a journey, but it's just like, at least try.
No, you're right. And I think you said climate change. I was just talking to somebody yesterday about the fires in California.
Yeah.
And there is a part in the story in the movie where a lot happens, guys. We're not doing a good job of explaining it, but let me just tell you.
We keep getting stuck on all the themes.
We have to get this out. I've been meaning to have this conversation with someone for a long time about this movie. So, but the concept that there is a balance. Like when he first encounters, what's her name?
Neytiri, right?
Yes, yes. And it's in a situation where he's being attacked by these kind of like...
They're kind of like puma dog looking things.
Yeah, almost like jaguar dogs or something.
They're huge and they're really scary looking.
Yeah, and so he's trying to like, fight them off, and she ends up having to like save him and kill them. But she's also kind of commenting on the fact that I didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
You know, if you weren't so clumsy and so loud.
He was running around the forest at night and then lit a fire because he thinks that's what he's supposed to do.
He got caught up away from, it's the first time he ever goes out.
Yeah. Into the jungle.
And he's like already fucking it up. Like he's like running.
And then he gets lost on his first night.
He's like a little kid. He's hitting the little things. Oh, excuse me. He's hitting those little plants that are going boop. And they hide.
And they light
boop.
Up. And yeah. He's like, what is this?
And he's having fun because he's like a little child. He's like, boop, boop, boop. And then he's like, oh, shit, what happened? And then there's a giant animal there and he's got a deal, right?
Yeah.
But she makes some very interesting comments when she says, this was sad.
Yeah.
This was sad. This didn't need to happen. Okay.
And she's like angry at him.
And she's mad because, and what they're touching on, they're giving you a hint of it early on, is this idea that these people believe that everything kind of has a purpose in
right.
nature.
There's a balance. Everything plays a purpose.
Yes. Yeah. And that you don't necessarily have to disturb it. It like is there for a reason.
Just trust it and let it be and do what it's supposed to do.
And there's this love and respect for everything around them because they are so connected to it.
Yeah.
And to the point when they actually have to go to battle towards the end of the, now I'm jumping, burp, all this stuff happens. Now they're in a full force like war.
Towards the end. Yeah.
With the asshole. And, they like so many bad things have happened, just like any war scene in a movie.
Yeah.
All the good people die, and you're like, oh man. And then
all hope starts to get lost. And
yes, but just when she thinks it's like done, who comes out of the woodwork to save them?
The animals.
The animals.
Because Jake prayed to the spirit of the land and said, I don't know who I'm talking to or if I'm talking to anyone, but I'm trusting. And.
Yeah,
last minute, the land gives back, basically, and the animals kind of band together and help the people.
Yeah.
And victory is had.
Yeah, and it's still kind of like a sad, happy thing
yeah.
that happens. But like that, I guess the reason I'm bringing this part of the story up is this concept that whether you believe in it or not,
mm-hmm.
the earth is an organism, right? The earth
right.
is alive.
It's a living, breathing thing.
And it is also fending for itself in a way.
It's trying to.
And when it's at war with us, the humans, like that's been the joke of this whole COVID for me.
I know.
It's like fires, storms, you know, all this.
The climate is like, you treated us like shit for a really long time.
I know. It's like,
hello,
guess what?
We're just kind of angry now. Like,
it's ours and we're taking it back, motherfucker.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like it's a joke, but it's a little bit kind of happening.
It touches. Yeah, it's happening.
And every other day you can just laugh it off and then you're like, wait a minute, what fires in California? Like,
this is, we're seeing how, like, the scales have, like, we tip the scales one day and we're like, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. And then the universe is, or the world's over here, like, trying to put the scales back in balance. And then here come the fires and the pandemics
and the
hurricanes and the...
It looks
it's
like
it's trying
it is.
To get back in balance.
It really does. It almost looks like this was necessary. It's like, do something to get these people in their houses and stop fucking up everything so
mm-hmm.
we have some time to recover. Because a lot of, I keep hearing stories like that
yeah.
across the world.
It's crazy.
Not just here, right?
Which is,
like,
I think,
everywhere.
If there's a silver lining to all of this of mm-hmm. 2020, I think it's a good thing that we can take a step back and say, hey, why is this happening? Where did it come from? Let's slow down and think about it before we move forward. That's it.
No, I think you're right. And I think this movie is like a, I don't know, it's like speaking volumes.
It really, I just was amazed that he was almost like before his time. It's almost like he predicted what was going to happen.
So weird.
Like the way this movie plays out, it just, everything. Even when I wrote down, like when he first came in and he's first introduced to the military guy and he gets just steps off the plane onto Pandora and they're like, so here are the rules. Everything out there is trying to kill you and everything is bad. So fear, basically, instill fear so that you don't think for yourself.
That's right.
And I was like, oh wow, that sounds a lot like today. Like
in one troll.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like don't listen to them. They're bad. And it comes from not knowing. Right.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow, that's really interesting. It's just like right away, instill the fear, get the control, like make sure they do what you tell them to do and they don't think for themselves. I was like, oh my God, like 10 minutes in, like, here we go.
And actually, I mean, I know people in the military. That is what they do in the military. Because they and need I get, you,
like,
to,
you need to under yeah. you need to be able to like do things you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do
and
them.
Like horrible things like shoot people and
yeah.
kill them.
Yeah, and I know that that's like a part of life that neither you or I have had to experience, but it thank does God. Have to be done sometimes. Yeah, thank God, like super grateful for that.
Right. But I love like I was wondering because I know we've more people I think today are embracing these kind, and especially right now, like you said about the connectedness of things and physical things like trees and the world, you know,
and
just
with
the
each
earth
other, yeah.
and with each other. And how different would we feel? I mean, the coolest thing about this movie to me, which was also funny because Charlotte was watching it with us, even though she was tired and she fell asleep, is like she thought it was gross, by the way, this part. But the way that they have these like they have long ponytails
right.
that are beautifully braided
yes,
all the way down the back.
so perfect.
They all have incredible hair that goes all the way down their back. And then there's these like kind of tentacle things
yeah,
that come out like, and like literally connect you to other things.
And it's cool because it looks like the end of, if you know like anatomy at all, it looks like the end of our spinal cord.
Is that right?
It's the caudal,
see, I don't know
the
that
caudal
at all.
End of our spinal cord.
Whoa.
Comes down our spine. It's all, you know, in our spine. It comes down right at our tailbone. It literally looks like that when it grows out and goes down into our legs, like our nerves.
Are you
like,
serious?
Yeah.
It's creepy.
If you, it, you know, I mean, look it up. It's like, that's how the nerves are.
Oh my God.
It's pretty cool. And then they all branch off of that, but it's
no.
like the central column. And then your nerves connect out. And that's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah. And it's, well, what was weird is I wonder how differently we would
be
around these things if we knew that we physically connected to them.
Like you can literally really tap into someone
yeah,
and bond with them.
I think it's like this woo-woo thing that people hear people talk like
what
that.
Is it called? Sahelu.
And
Sahelu.
They're kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm connected to the energy of the
right,
whatever.
Right.
I'm going to go eat a fucking burger right now.
Energy,
like, you know, it just,
yeah.
it's like, okay, sure, I'll go sit by a tree. But I think it takes a lot of...
it's nice to see it put in a person, I guess, in the movie.
Yeah, like it. I want to believe. Like I go to yoga. I've learned things like this. I believe this stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like one of these woo woos. Like I literally, I'm like, I say this to my kids, and they're like, "All right, mom, okay, that was weird." I'm like, that tree over there. Look, you're connected
look
to the tree. It's
look
just
your feet
just,
on the ground, and then
you know,
the grass
literally the energy.
Yeah.
yeah, like the energy of the tape. Like it's all.
And
like,
I know
we're
it sounds
all,
crazy when we talk like that, but.
We sound crazy.
There's a realness to it.
Right, because it doesn't seem tangible.
And it's because it's not.
It's not.
It's something that you feel. It's not a measurable thing. And
yeah.
that's what we have, I think, as a society, like, issues with, something that isn't as measurable. We don't know if it's real. We can't trust it because it's not measurable.
Right, and that's why in the movie he just goes right there with it.
Yeah, which is really, I mean, it's awesome the way he described it with the movie, like, this is the connection. Like,
yeah.
it's right here. You connect in. It's like snapping in.
Right. And then even Sigourney, sorry, Catherine, says towards
oh,
the end that they've been doing all this sampling and that what they've been finding is that there's actual connections, literal connections happening through all of these trees, through all of the things in the environment.
Yeah.
And there are more connections and synapses in our brains.
Yeah.
That was a line that blew me.
Yeah.
I was like, if you could have data that says that, in reality,
yeah.
people would stop doing crazy shit.
Just in general, the crazy shit, they would just stop.
I mean, you would hope.
The good kind of crazy shit.
Yeah, like
if I
felt that I am literally affecting that tree with my bad mood.
Yeah.
Like if I walked past the tree and I was like, fuck
oh,
this tree! You know, I mean, I'll tell you, did I ever tell you the funny science experiment?
Fuck this tree, man!
For no reason.
And the tree's like,
and a branch just falls
yeah.
off.
But doesn't that sometimes oh happen
God.
Like that sometimes? Like, we're, like, walking around, we're angry or we're frustrated, and then all of a sudden, like, a bird will poop on our window or, like,
you're
a
right.
rock will fly up, and it's just like, maybe it was kind of drawn to us. I don't
wow.
know.
Well, maybe we just have to be more woke. Is that the word?
Is that the word?
I think it is.
Are we allowed to use that word? I don't know.
I don't know what the word means, but it sounds good, so I'm going to say it.
In the moment.
But I do think that I'll tell you funny. I'll share this because we're talking about Avatar and it is a weird movie.
So many things.
My son did it. He did a science experiment in like fifth grade, and we kind of gave him the idea because I was like, he's interested in plants and science, and I found this thing on the internet about, you know, people have done it with music with plants.
Yeah.
You know,
oh.
have you seen that?
Yeah.
I mean, this is old, where you like play happy music to one plant and you. Horrible music to the other plant, and you see how the plant
grows differently.
So we had three plants that we stuck in our house in our living room, And one, we, with the kids, and we have a big house, so there's seven of us. So yeah. every day, we told the kids, every day in the morning and every day in the evening, go over to the one plant and say, I love you, you're amazing, you're the best pretty plant, I love you so much. And then the other plant, you just totally just horrible.
Don't even.
Yeah, one is ignored. And then one is completely just the meanest, nastiest things you can say to the plant.
You're the worst.
Yeah, I hate you. You're ugly. You're the ugliest thing ever, right? So we did this for like, I think a month.
Wow.
You would be blown by the results of what happened.
The
one plant was like, purr, the one in the middle kind of stayed the same. And the other plant that we gave the positive words to sprouted.
Blossomed.
So high.
It's so true. Isn't that so crazy?
It's crazy. And so it was
same
kind
plants.
Of
you got them at the same,
same
time.
Exact
watered
plants,
them the same.
Exactly the same. And I was like, that's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nuts.
Just something to think about. I mean, it's crazy. And like you said, I've heard that experiment done many times and it always kind of has the same results.
Yeah.
Like, I noticed that my jade plant that was like dying
tell
in my
me.
Room, it just was not looking happy. And then, you know, now I kind of talk to it every day. I'm like, you're doing good. You're doing good. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I swear to God, I'm not lying. It looks better.
Wow.
Like, it looks better.
That's crazy. Because right now I have a couple plants outside. I'm not doing a good job. I'm trying to water it too much and I'm watering it not enough.
No.
I feel like I would not
That's
mesh
the
with the Navi people very well.
You would be the scown. What is it? The scown.
You're killing everything. Can you please leave?
Please stop that. Just don't touch anything. Just
you're too anxious for our planet. Just
hold still and don't touch anything.
It can feel your vibes and it's stressed out now. You need to get out of here.
No. Mother Awa would just like accept you in. They would send you the little, what are those little floating things that look like the wishes? They would come to you, Tiffany.
They do look like wishes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the wishing. What
I
are
hope
they called?
So.
They come off the old dandelions.
They go to my notes.
I don't know. But don't know anyway, that's how the Na'vi end up, back to the story anyway, that's how the Na'vi end up accepting Jake. And so basically, what's her name? Neytiri finds him and they have that night and she's like, you idiot, this didn't have to happen. I didn't have to kill him. And then he's like, let me come with you.
Right.
Like, let me learn your people and like, let me be a part of you. And then she wasn't going to accept him, right? And she was like, just go, forget this. Like, you don't belong here. And then the Mother Awa, the tree, the spirit, the pure spirits.
Yes.
They send this sign and they look like those little wishy things that come off of dandelions. And they kind of like all just attract to him and they just kind of like sit on him. And she's like in awe and he's like, what the fuck is happening?
It's crazy.
And then they just kind of like silently get up and leave. And she just goes, you come with me. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, and it's, oh man, there's great scenes in it,
yeah.
though. Like, that's a beautiful one.
It's really pretty. And then, so then they bring him to the people and the shaman of the group, which, oh, this is another theme, which was interesting, that the women are the major leaders. Like, there's a guy leader of the clan.
True.
But the mother or the woman, the shaman, is a woman. And she's the one that kind of has the last say. Like, she's like, inspects Jake and says, she pricks him and like tastes his blood. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's true.
And she's the one that like tells the daughter, like, you're going to teach him our ways. You're going to do it. And the daughter's like, no. And she goes, it's decided.
I love it. It's so badass.
Yeah.
It
so
is.
So that was interesting, too, that they put women in charge of it almost, of this like connected universe to teach and to grow and to nurture.
Do you think that's because women are like more, or there's a perception that women are more in touch with things like that?
I would say, yeah, that there's that perception for sure.
Yeah.
Or because of society, women are allowed to
right?
show that
Thank
side
you.
More.
Correction.
Yeah. You know, like men are just not taught that it's as allowed or that it's okay as much to talk about this or to feel that.
So
or,
true.
So, you know, maybe it's just that too.
I don't know. What were some, I know we're kind of getting along here, but you did bring all these notes. So I wanted to know what other themes
like stood out to me.
Maybe just one more so we don't keep you forever.
What's another good one? I mean, we kind of already talked about this, but I think it was good when, you know, she said that didn't need to happen. That animal didn't need to die. And then he does become accepted into the Na'vi. And the final thing that he does to get fully accepted is he makes his first kill. He becomes the hunter. And she watches him from the sidelines. And he, you know, got the stance that she taught him and everything, and he silently just gets this animal, and he comes over, and it's kind of still alive, and he puts it out of its misery and says, before he does it, he says, "Thank you, brother, I see you." And then he kills it, and she comes up to him and says, "Now you're ready." And they get to go get the birds after that. But just, again, respecting the connection and respecting, like, what you're getting from something. Like, I'm not a vegan anymore. I was vegan for, like, a year. I'm a vegetarian now.
Okay.
I don't eat meat. So, and it's not because, it's because we don't respect, like, what we're getting from it. It's not because I don't think we shouldn't eat meat.
Yeah.
I think that we're doing it in overconsumption, and we're not saying, like, thank you to this animal and respecting where it really came from. And that's, like, the huge problem. So I'm like, I'm against it. And that just is another theme that came up with taking what you need and only what you need and saying thank you to that animal and then giving it back to the earth.
I know, we're so spoiled.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Kind of, which is what we meant to do. We're like, oh, this great American Revolution and all these things. And then we forgot.
Yeah.
Like those first world problems, you know.
Totally forgot them.
You know,
completely.
We forgot.
Well, I think there is a big return to this. I mean, I will say I feel a bit removed because I'm a little older than you. And there's definitely people that are that way that are my age.
Yeah.
But I will admit that, like, I noticed this is more popular, it seems, with, like, a decade behind me or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it's of your time and not, and what am I, 80?
No.
You young whippersnappers today with your vegetarian. No, I just, seriously though, I don't, like, I was brought up with meat and potatoes, you know, like, I was still, my parents are from that time where it was,
and at times that was
consumer.
All you could get was meat and potatoes too, so there's that aspect. But anyway,
but it's like a generational thing, I think. And I do think there's definitely more people concerned with these issues now,
or just saying, hey, it doesn't have to be this way, or
there's
another way,
right?
Or maybe let's think about why we're doing it and where it's coming from.
Totally. I love the idea that you talked about, and I don't really do this, and I think it's just because I make a lot of excuses, but people are, I mean, the COVID has been such a crazy
ride.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it.
And all I can do is look at the social media and be like, oh my God, everyone's growing plants now. What the fuck is happening?
Oh, same.
What is going on, right? Yeah. So everybody is like doing all these different things, you know.
We're and baking going, bread so and growing plants.
Baking bread, right? Like, why was it bread? No one's
I
turning
don't know.
Butter.
I don't know.
Nobody wants to make butter.
Because it's harder to churn the butter.
Well, it gets back to that concept. I think bread is such a comforting
it's
smell.
It's homey and comforting.
It's homey. And you cannot, the smell of bread is like, you know, it's
I
like
don't know
Oprah.
What else. Yeah.
I love bread. Which I do, by the way. And but yeah, there's been this return to all these things. I think people are just, maybe that's the time. I mean, I hope it continues.
I hope so too.
Maybe Avatar was seeing a bit into the future.
I really think it kind of did without realizing.
Yeah. I mean, I wish there was a planet like Pandora. I mean, that place is ridiculous.
That would be so cool.
We would just wreck that place in like 20 minutes.
That's the problem, right? Like, that's the problem.
There'd be a fucking mall and a spa and a resort.
Let's put up some concrete.
Come to the mountain cliffs and the clouds resorts.
Yeah.
One
oh
on
God,
every little.
So cool.
What are those things called?
The floating, what
the
was it?
Floating,
the floating mountains?
The floating mountains.
Yeah. Like, I can't even fathom
come
that.
Come to the
in real
Excellence
life.
Resort on the floating mountains of
and only
Pandora.
If you can afford it, and it's not for everyone.
Yeah, it's like we,
things.
I mean, that's the issue, right? Is like, how would we
monetize it?
Oh, it's so nuts.
Not to say that industrialism is bad and I love my iPhones and all the technology
right.
and the fact that we can sit here and do this. Like, that's so cool.
It's what you do with
it's
it.
It's awesome.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's what you do with it.
There's definitely a big pull for people to give back more. I find.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your experience?
I think so. I think it's just appreciating, my experience is that it's like, we got a space to listen or look and see what works and what doesn't work and to maybe leave behind what doesn't work and step into only what does work or maybe some new mind frames, maybe some new ways to look at things and maybe realizing what doesn't work anymore.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
What else can we say? We didn't really talk about I See You, but...
I mean, I think all of that is I See You.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When he killed the animal and he said, thank you. It's like, I see you.
Yeah.
Or You know, when I look at you in yoga, it's namaste.
It's namaste.
So there's words for it. There's words for it all over the world. It's whatever. I can't think of another word other than namaste right now.
I think namaste is really popular in terms of like.
If I don't know if everyone knows what it means. It just says the light in me and honors respects.
No, say it. Sorry, I just interrupted you.
No, you're good. It's light in me, honors respects, and sees the light in you. Like recognizing that what I am is also what you are at the core. And that's it.
Wow.
You know?
It's so true. Yeah. Maybe we all need a little more Avatar right now.
Avatar. We just need Avatar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're all divided. I'm not even getting into politics because I need to wrap this up. But the concept of, I'll just say that I'm taking it personally when I get reminded, because I know this theme exists.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very aware of this now in the world. And I think that it sometimes doesn't jar with other people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like radical acceptance or something like that. But it's kind of like, to not just decide what everyone is and everything is and just stop, let go of the story.
Labels and stories.
Yeah, let go of it because maybe you need to open your eyes and see.
Yeah.
And like you might decide somebody is by what outfit they're wearing or what hat they have on their head.
Yeah.
And I think that we're in a very divided place right now, at least in the United States. And so when it comes to your everyday interactions, the people you bump up against and social distance from with your mask on.
Yeah.
Maybe like have a little open-mindedness about.
We're just trying to do our best. I see I'm trying to do my best. Maybe that person is also trying to do their best for what they know too. That's
it. You know, I'll make this one last comment. Like weirdly about yoga, which is another one of these weird places where we let go of this shit.
Yeah.
There are strange places where nobody cares about your political opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I've never thought about it in a yoga studio.
Aha. Interesting.
Right? Well, think about it. When you go in to do a yoga class.
It's not something that we talk about or worry about.
No. Well, everyone's in yoga clothes.
Yeah.
Or whatever those are.
Right?
Your shorts, your t-shirt.
They could literally be jeans and a t-shirt.
No, but when you're in that space, you aren't thinking that guy could be a Republican and that guy's a Democrat. And she's a, nobody cares.
And she eats meat and he doesn't and.
No, exactly. And so, like, there's this letting go that we all agree to walking into the
silently
room.
Silently agree, right?
We silently agree to the terms, which is that we're all here for the same thing. We're all the same in this room right now, which is so weird because it's unspoken and no one even told you.
But you get this, like, silent reverence. Yeah, no one ever tells you this.
Maybe that's why yoga's so amazing.
I don't know. But, yeah, bringing it back to the movie, you just get those same themes from the movie. And like I said, I saw the movie before I was ever even introduced to yoga. And so it was really cool that it connected with me then, like that idea of all the things the movie brings up of connection and being open to other beings and seeing more than one thing. And then yoga came in my life and I was like, oh, no wonder I love that movie so much. Like,
yeah,
I love yoga for the same reasons.
It spoke to you.
Yeah, it definitely spoke to me.
So it's the reason I do this, because I, you know, we all attach to some form of something that connects to our way of seeing things.
Yeah.
Film is always, I said this many times on my podcast, film has always spoke to me in a specific way. It's been the vessel for messages to come through to me.
Yeah.
I think literally that's been used. It's like, all right, well, Tiffany's going to watch a movie, so
that's really cool.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah. And so for you, you're doing it in different ways. But I love when I hear a story of a movie that has affected someone in a true way or in a way that has made them think differently or just.
Definitely opened up my eyes to think differently. I didn't quite know what it was at first. And then lo and behold, I found yoga and I was like, oh, that's what that was.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It is weird. Well, listen, I want to thank you for coming on.
Oh, thanks, Tiff, for having me.
I definitely need to have you back now.
Yeah, we can talk about other things. I need to watch Tootsie still.
Oh, that's a different movie. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, we should get Terry on, too. We could do one of those.
That would be fun.
Terry, I'm shouting out. Well, anyway, Carrie, thank you. If you guys are looking to find Carrie, she is... Plug yourself, please.
Oh my God. I'm here at Dimitri Yoga teaching yoga classes. I'm a massage therapist. I also practice out of Dimitri Yoga, my massage practice. Again, if you want to find me on Instagram, I just post yoga videos. That's about it.
And wise nuggets of wisdom.
And wise nuggets of wisdom as it comes out through my vessel. at Cool Vibes, k.oolvibes.
Yeah, and actually I've been like staring at you now for like about an hour.
Yeah.
You're kind of like a Navi. Like you,
am
you,
I?
You kind of look like them. Like
I like it.
I'm giving you a compliment. Like it's...
No, I like this.
You do, because you're kind of like long and tall.
Yeah.
And you have this like ability to do incredible yoga, by the way. She's like you're amazing.
I'm a nerd on yoga, so I spend a lot of time doing it.
But you have a beautiful form about it too.
Oh, thank
you. You know that. I mean,
That's really sweet.
Now I feel awkward.
She knows. She has a lot of, she has a dancer daughter, so she knows movement and watches movement.
I do, but you're like a bit of an alien. Like, you kind of can do things that I'm like, she's just standing on her head for like 10 minutes.
And talking to us casually.
That's not normal. Like, where's your dragon? Like, where's your, she can just like grab on and fly off out of the studio.
I need
like,
one.
Yeah,
where's my Ikron?
You should dress up for Halloween.
I think I'm going to.
The full body paint.
I think that's it.
Oh my God, you'd be fucking awesome.
That'd be really fun.
And you have like the long hair and you can do the whole
COVID
thing.
COVID, thanks. I haven't cut it in a while.
Oh my God. Well, everyone tap into your inner Navi avatar. And just join us next week. So, yeah. And if you're listening, please listen to all the other shows on the Social Podcast Network. Yeah. We've got shows like Be Soulfish. We've got shows like this one. We've got In Too Deep with Tom and Carlos. We have Full Send with Tom and Tiff. I dare you to listen to that, please.
I dare you.
It's very upsetting. No, I'm just kidding. but there's lots of shows, and you can find them on socialpodcastnetwork.com. Look for us on Instagram, Facebook, all the social media outlets. And everyone, have a great day.
I see you.
I see you too. Go hug a tree. Goodbye.
Bye.